I've never been able to come and fellowship with you, so it's great to be here. We're going to be looking at Psalm 92 this morning, so if you've got a Bible, please open it up. And while you're turning that up in your Bible, I'll tell you maybe a few more things about me. So yeah, if you know Howick Baptist, you kind of know a lot of my family, which is great. I grew up in Papakura, going to Papakura Baptist, not far from here. And for the past, or since February, I've been preaching there sort of 3 out of 4 weeks of the month, sort of taking over where John left off at the beginning of the year. And that's been really great and very encouraging for a lot of reasons. But excited to be here with you all. So if you've all got Psalm 92, that's great. Before we read that, I'd love to pray for us. So let's pray. Gracious God, we know your word is living and active, that by the power of your spirit, it's at work in our lives as your people. Father, I pray as we read this psalm and think about it together that you would be at work in each of us to encourage us and to challenge us and to transform us into the image of your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. So, Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand this. That though the wicked person sprout like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This year, my wife and I have been living out in Maraetai, if you know where that is, out sort of in the countryside by the sea, and it's a really lovely place to live. We've really enjoyed living there. But there's one problem that we've faced. Every weekend when we try and go out, there's always lots of cyclists on the road slowing us down because you can't get past them on these busy roads. And so we're constantly kind of worried that we're going to be late everywhere we go on a weekend because we'll get stuck behind a cyclist. Now, some of you may be cyclists and you may really enjoy it, and that's fine. I personally cannot understand why anyone would want to spend their Saturday or their Sunday morning cycling. Even this morning as we came here, there were people out there riding through the pouring rain, and good on them, but I don't get that. I don't know why they'd want to get out of bed on a Sunday morning to cycle through the rain. But people do it. People do all kinds of things with their weekends, with their Sunday mornings. We're all here, which a lot of people would find unusual. But for a moment, think about what you might be doing if you weren't here this morning. If you had your Sunday morning and you could do whatever you like, what would you be doing? Would you be cycling? Or would you go out and grab a coffee? Or would you have a bit of a sleep in? Or would you get stuck into that pile of washing that's lying there in the laundry, or would you go out somewhere with family and spend time with family, or would you go visit a friend, spend a bit of extra time doing that work that you need to catch up on? What would you do if you weren't here? And the question that rises when we think about this is, why are we here? What brings us here every week? And I think this psalm, this song for the Sabbath, speaks to that question, why we're here every week. Now, with Papakura Baptist, we've been preaching through the psalms, and we've done it in a way that I think is unusual, even though it's been me who decided to do it this way. Normally, you kind of would pick a few psalms, different kinds of psalms to look at, so we get a feeling for the psalms. We've just started at Psalm 90 and preached one by one by one, and we're going to go up to about Psalm 106. But we're just going one after the other. And that has been interesting, and it's actually brought out some things which I hadn't seen before in the psalms, which I'd love to share with you. What I've noticed as we've done Psalm 90, then Psalm 91, and now Psalm 92, is that they're all centered on one idea. They're all about God as our dwelling. God is our refuge. If you can see it in the opening verses, Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And then Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. These two psalms are meant to be sung or prayed to a God who is a refuge. Psalm 90 is sort of a lament, it's sort of sad. So it's a psalm you can bring and a psalm you can think about when times are difficult to make God your refuge. Psalm 91 is more joyful, it's more sort of a thanksgiving psalm, and it helps us praise God when times are good because he has been our refuge. And Psalm 92 brings this all together and helps us think and pray and meditate and sing on the fact that God is our refuge and our dwelling place. And as we look at Psalm 92 itself, you'll notice there's a little heading at the top. In my Bible, it's all in capital letters, and it says it's a psalm or a song for the Sabbath. And that makes it unique. In all the psalms, this is the only one that is for the Sabbath, and it's means it's appropriate. It's a day. It's a psalm that we can think about today, this day set aside for the Lord. And as we look at the psalm further, I think we can see it fits into sort of three sections. There are three invitations for us who have met together on the Sabbath. Three truths for the Sabbath for those who have taken refuge in the Lord. Verses 1 to 4, there's an invitation to praise. Verses 5 to 11, there's an invitation to be wise. And verses 12 to 15, there's an invitation to come into God's presence. And so that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. We're going to be thinking about this invitation to praise, an invitation to be wise, and an invitation into God's presence. So let's jump right in. Verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It is good to sing praises to the Lord. It's an invitation to come and praise God, to praise him with music, to praise him with the sound of the lute and the harp and the lyre. Those are kind of the stringed instruments of that day. They were the common instruments that everybody, well not everybody, that most people who played music would play those instruments. And it's saying, Get your instruments together and come and praise. Come and make music. Come and sing. Now, I know different churches and different Christians have different ideas about how music should be done in church, and it can be a bit divisive at times. So I'm not here to tell you how you should do your music here, but I am here to say that when you meet together on a Sunday morning, you should be singing to the Lord. We should be praising the Lord with song because it's good. We're called to make music, to lift our voices in songs of worship to the Lord. And you may all have different convictions about how the music should go, and you'll have to figure them out as a church. But whatever you do, make sure you're singing. Just as we've done this morning, make sure we're lifting our voices and songs of praise to our God, because it's good. It's good to sing praise to the Lord. Verse 4, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy." The reason it's good to come and sing and praise the Lord is because of who God is. He is the inspiration for our worship. It's the work of God's hands that we're to sing about. That should kind of stir us to lift our voices as we come in the door to think, look at the wonderful God that we are worshiping. Look at what he's done. Look how glad he makes us by what he has done for us. Come and bring instruments. Come and make music. Come and sing, because it's good. It's so good to give thanks to our God. It's good to rejoice in the work of our God. This is one of the reasons, I hope, that everybody's here this morning and not cycling around Varietai, is that it's so good to be here with God's people to sing his praise. But then the psalm moves on in verses 5 to 11. The ideas change a bit. It's almost like we see the other side of the coin, as it were. It tells us what life might be like if we weren't here this morning. If you didn't come to praise the Lord, if you didn't think it was good to be here, what would you be like? These verses tell us that there are stupid people. Verse 6, "The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that people are like grass." If you're not coming to praise the Lord on the Sabbath, you might be a fool, you might be a stupid person, you might be a person who doesn't realize they're like grass. Now, in New Zealand, I think that the Psalms use this imagery of grass quite a lot, and I think in New Zealand, we don't really get it, because the grass in New Zealand is so lush and green and grows so quickly all the year round. There may be kind of like a couple of weeks in February where it gets a bit brown and a bit dry and people start to complain, but most of the year is just so green and vibrant. And I only realized this when I went to Australia, because as soon as you land in Australia, you think, man, this whole country is brown. All the grass is brown, all the trees are brown, there's no green anywhere, because it's hotter and drier and more, the grass doesn't grow as much here. And it would have been like that for the people of Israel. They lived in a place that was hotter and drier, and the grass, it would grow when the rain came, it would sprout up quickly, but then when it was dry, the grass would die off. It would be brown and it would disappear. And so grass is this picture of really something that's really temporary. It's there when it's raining, and maybe for a few days or a few weeks after the rain falls, you've got this nice grass, but then it's gone. Just like the seasons change, the grass comes and goes, and that's what the wicked are like. That's what those who don't praise the Lord are like. They're like grass. They disappear quickly. They may look full of life now, but it will only last a short season and then be gone. And the foolish don't see it. The wicked don't see that their end is destruction. The life that doesn't resound with the praise of the Most High is in the end doomed. And so in the psalm, there's this invitation to be wise people. To be wise people. The reason that we've come here this morning is actually because we're wise, funnily enough. I don't think of myself as a wise person, but to be here to sing the praise of God is a wise decision to make. The psalmist looks upon the wicked, and he looks upon these people who don't honor God, and he sees how foolish they are to not praise the eternal God. He sees that the enemies of God will be destroyed. And yet for the righteous, he sees verse 10, look at that with me. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. There's more images here that are common in the psalm. There's the imagery of a horn. We don't talk about horns in our culture at the moment, but it's picturing like a big bull. If you're driving out in the countryside and you saw a big bull with big horns in the paddock, you'd think, I won't get into that paddock and tango with that bull, because they're dangerous and they're powerful and they're frightening if they're angry with you and charging with you. And that's the picture that the psalmist is saying, that God has made me like this strong bull, this big, intimidating, powerful force. And there's the image of fresh oil being poured over. And we might think of it as putting on an expensive perfume. It gives you this kind of lovely fragrance. But it's also, if you've got this expensive perfume, you probably only put it on special occasions. It sets you apart. It sets an occasion apart as something special and significant. In the same way, oil in the Old Testament was fragrant, and it set people apart, or it set events apart as special. And so the psalmist is saying with verse 10, God has made me like this powerful bull, but also fragrant like a king. I'm strong and I'm blessed. And more than that, as we read on in verse 11, he's seen the downfall of his enemies. Maybe he's seen them. He's heard word that people who are against him have been destroyed or have fallen. Or maybe he looks and sees that those who are wicked, those who are against him, won't last because they don't praise the Lord. It could be that as this psalmist looks at his life and the life of the wicked with this perspective of God, an eternal God, he realizes that the wicked, the evil ones, are ultimately doomed. So we've been invited to praise God because it's good, it's great to come and praise God. But we've also been invited to come and be wise, because praising God is wisdom. We're here this morning because it's good to be praising God and because it's wise to be praising God. But then we have these last four verses, 12 to 15. The final invitation that the psalm gives us, the final reason we're here this morning, is that we're invited actually into God, the house of God. I'll start reading at verse 12. The righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. If you want to be one of those who praises God, who enjoys the goodness of God's worship, not a foolish and a wicked person, what will you do? If you want to be someone who's like a strong tree that grows up and whose branches reach out to the sky and who bears lots of fruit, not like grass that withers quickly, what will you do? You'll plant yourself in the house of God. You'll put yourself in the courts of the Most High. Now these terms, the house of God, the courts, or the house of the Lord, the courts of our God, probably have in view the Old Testament temple. That's the center of the worship of God in the Old Testament. In Israel, the place where there are priests on hand to perform sacrifices and other things that the Old Testament people were called to do. They may have even had musicians there and people there to play music so that people could sing. And most importantly, that was the place where God's presence visibly dwelt amongst his people. That's the place where if people were thinking, where is God among us? That's where they'd go. The Holy of Holies, the innermost room of the temple, was sort of this physical representation of God's presence with his people. And so if you wanted to get close to God, you'd go to the temple. You'd participate in everything that would happen at the temple. And the psalmist is saying, if you want to be like this strong tree, if you want to experience the goodness of worshipping God and want to be a wise person, then you'll be at the temple. You'll be participating in everything that happens in God's house. You'll plant yourself there. If you want to be someone who praises God, then you're going to want to be at the place where you're reminded of God's works, what he's done. If you want to live with wisdom, you're going to want to be in the place that reminds you of God's perspective on the world. If you want to flourish, you'll want to be at the place which is the focal point of the worship of God. But where does that leave us living thousands of years later, across the other side of the world, with the temple being destroyed centuries ago and no longer operating? Where does it leave us? Well, what made the temple really special was this Holy of Holies, the place, the physical representation of God's dwelling with his people. And this innermost room was sort of off limits to the public. You've probably hopefully heard this, but you know, only the high priest could go in there once a year, and he'd have like a rope tied around him so that if he sinned in there and died, they could pull him out and get him out of there. But that place is gone. It was destroyed and is no longer important because it's been replaced with Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God dwelling among his people. You'll remember that while Jesus hung upon the cross, there was darkness and earthquakes, and the curtain which separated off the Holy of Holies from the rest of the world was torn in two. The doorway to this place which symbolized God's presence was opened to the world. And this sort of symbolic action shows that God's presence is not confined to this one place anymore. You don't come near to God through the temple and through its what happened there. God doesn't dwell with his people in this room, but he dwells with his people in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can draw near to God anywhere because of the cross of Christ. By his blood, which washes us and cleanses us and makes us holy. By his blood, which forgives us of our praiselessness and our foolishness and gives us his perfect righteousness so that we can approach our holy God. That's how we're able to draw near to God. That's how we come into God's presence. It's through the cross. And so this psalm is calling us today to be rooted and grounded in the gospel, to flourish because of the saving work of our Lord. If you want to be a worshiper, if you want to be someone full of praise to your King, if you want to flourish through all seasons of life, then you must be deeply rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. You must be grounded in his saving work. That's where you find strength and blessing. That's where those who praise God are. They're thinking and dwelling upon the work of Christ. And we're here this morning. The reason we're all here together this morning, we can all come from whatever walks of life we have and worship and praise together, is because of what Christ has done. And yet, this idea of God's temple doesn't finish with the Old Testament and the temple being destroyed. Paul picks up on it. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he talks about God's temple for New Testament people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. That says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Paul's telling the Corinthians that God's people now are God's temple. The church is where God dwells upon the earth. So yes, the Spirit has come and dwelt in all believers. But in the sense of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's us together as we gather as the church. We are God's temple. It's not that there's like a bunch of little temples and we've all come together. It's that us together, as we fellowship together, we are the temple of the Lord. We are the place that God has chosen to dwell. And so what that means, as we think about Psalm 92, is that as we gather here this morning, we're meant to be this house. We're meant to be the courts of our God. Not this building, but not each person, but us gathered together. That means that if you're a Christian, to be wise, to flourish, to experience the goodness of worshiping God, we're going to want to gather in local churches. We're going to want to be together as a church. Now, there's two things which you might be thinking now, which I don't want you to think. One is that you might be thinking, yeah, you're right, I should be at more church services or more church things. Yeah, black mark for me. Or you might be thinking, I've come to every church thing this week. I get a big fat gold star for this sermon. That's not really where this psalm is pushing us, not where it's driving us. It pushes us to ask, where are you planted? Where are you rooted? Where do you flourish? Where do you draw from? What nourishes you for the week? What fills you up and makes you grow and gives you life? The psalm says it should be the house of God, his temple. His Christ and his church should be our source of energy and vibrance as we go through the week. Us, as we gather here for worship, as we remind one another of the works of Christ, that should make us flourish. And look what happens to those who are planted in God's house. Verses 14 and 15. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Even when these people who have planted themselves where God is, even when they're old, they're full of fruit, they're full of life. They're green and they're full of sap. They're full of the praises of the Lord all through life. I've found this image so helpful to think about as I think about life and what I want to achieve with my life. As I think about flourishing and succeeding in life, what does it look like? How will I be this great green tree that's always full of fruit? I think naturally our kind of worldly minds tend to think of kind of the money and the houses and the possessions and the holidays and the families that we'd like. And if we had all those, we'd flourish. But that is not what this psalm pictures as a green tree full of fruit. I was helping a friend move his elderly grandma out of her home and into a rest home. And his grandma was a really wealthy person, and she was moving into a much, much smaller home than she had. And so she was having to get rid of all her things that she had. All the stuff that she had spent a massive amount of money on was now kind of going to an op shop and getting sold for $2.50, or was being fought over by her children about what should be done with it. And in the end, at the end of her life, all the stuff she'd accumulated, even this great big lovely house, wasn't worth anything to her. It didn't bear her any fruit in her old age. She just ended up giving it away. And my friend and I reflected on that a bit, that what you end up having in the end isn't worth anything to you. But for those planted in the house of the Lord, there's so much more. If you want to keep living until the end of your life, if you don't want to have a life that's been wasted, if you want to be vibrant all your days, then you'll plant yourself in the house of the Lord. You'll plant yourself where God is worshipped. You'll plant yourself in His gospel with His people. To truly flourish, you'll put yourself close to where God dwells. That's why we've come here this morning. Because here with God's people, as His temple, is where we truly flourish. It's an invitation to come and put yourself in the midst of where God dwells to praise Him. And so the psalm has three invitations for us. Come and praise Him because it's good. Come and live wisely by praising Him. Come and be where God dwells. It's a song, it's a good song for us on the Sabbath to remind us why we've come this morning. We've come because it's so good to be here to praise the Lord. We've come because it's so wise. This is where we see where God's perspective and what God is doing. We've come because here in the midst of His people is where God dwells, where people flourish. And we've come because it's here that we remember what Christ has done for us, the mighty works of the Lord's hands. You could have gone out and had brunch with friends. You could have gone out and cycled somewhere on your bike. You could have made time for family or whatever else you might have done. But it wouldn't have been anything compared to what we have done here this morning. If you want to be where God is, if you want to be where His Spirit dwells, if you want to truly flourish, if you want to be where the best things happen, if you want to be where the wisest place to be is, then you'll be here with God's people, with those who have been saved by His blood, to remember what He has done. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that we can be here this morning to sing Your praise, to be reminded of what You have done, to have fellowship with one another, to build each other up and encourage one another. And Father, I pray that You would remind us each week as we come how good it is, what a privilege it is to be able to be here, to be Your children, come to worship You and to hear from Your word. Father, I pray that each week we would remember that You would impress upon our hearts the value of what we do here each week, the value of hearing Your word preached, the value of singing praises, the value of investing in Your people, the value of being where You are and being involved in what You're doing. We thank You so much that this is all possible because of Christ Jesus, that He has sacrificed His life for our sins. He has cleansed us of unrighteousness. And He has brought us together as His church, His body, of which He is the head. So we pray in His name. Amen.